RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Go RVing. Away is a place that's easy to find and a feeling that's impossible to forget. To find your away, visit GoRVing.com.
And by Outdoorsy, the largest and most trusted rental marketplace. Outdoorsy is making it safe and easy to make money renting your RV. With full insurance, roadside assistance, secure payments, and real people ratings and reviews. Visit Outdoorsy.com to find a cool RV to rent or see how much money you can earn renting your own RV.
And by AccuVitec. Dedicated to providing your family with safe drinking water, AccuVitec makes UV LED water purification systems for your RV and your home. Visit AccuVitec.com to find a water purification system that meets your needs.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at RVFTA.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are going window shopping for SUVs that are capable of towing RVs. And our guide is guest correspondent Johan Schnell. Johan is a car, truck, and RV fanatic who is going to break down the categories and give us the skinny on the real-life towing capacities.
There are a wide variety of options to consider in the competitive world of SUVs, but thankfully many of them are stylish and well-made. With Johan's help, we are going to cover light-duty, medium-duty, and heavy-duty options and talk about which RVs can be towed by these sporty beauties.
You might think that an RV owner is out of luck without a pickup truck, but Johan knows that if you do your homework and choose wisely, an SUV can deliver you safely to your favorite campground. You are listening to episode number 198, Great SUVs for Towing RVs.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, Great SUVs for Towing RVs, it's time for another one of RVFTA's summer road trip tips, and this one is sponsored by our friends at AccuVitec.
Accuva is an innovative leader in building water filtration systems for both the home and RV, and they are dedicated to providing families with safe drinking water no matter where you are. Now, AccuVitec has provided our family with safe drinking water for this entire camping season, and we have to say, as an end user, we could not be more happy with this product. So it's an LED water filtration system that takes the same technology that large cities like Paris and Vancouver use to filter their city water, and it brings it down into this small little tiny box that just gets installed right under your sink.
Smaller than a kid's lunchbox.
It's so small and out of the way, easy to install. And then you have a nice water filter that comes out of your sink, and every single time you could take a drink, you know that you're getting wonderfully filtered.
And when you turn it
water.
On, it has that cool little LED light that I love to see.
So it looks so cool too, which also shows you that it's working. Like when one of our breakers, you know, went out and all of the electricity in the camper wasn't working, when I turned on that water filtration and had that glass of water, that LED light did not show up. So I knew that it was not filtering water because our electric had gone.
If that blue LED light doesn't come on, there's a problem in the universe.
There's a problem. You need your filter on. So that worked out. That little light worked out well. You can visit AccuVitec.com or RVFTA.com to learn more.
All right. This week's RVFTA summer road trip tip is a little different. All right. We want to go out on a limb here. First of all, we really want to tell you, our dear beloved podcast listener, even though some of you are just finishing up your summer road trip tips, it's time to start planning for next summer. And I know that's crazy, and I know some of you really don't like that, but campgrounds are filling up earlier and earlier.
I don't like it. I would prefer to plan for next year's trip in January or February. That would be my ideal.
And you'd be locked out of a lot of campgrounds.
I know. It's a true and sad fact because I really don't like planning for next summer
yet. But
that's
just the beginning of our tip. So we're asking all of you to start thinking now about next summer's road trips. But we want you to think different. We want you to think a little bit agnostically about your trips next summer. Stephanie and I have experimented with lots of different types of camping, quote unquote camping trips over the past few years. And we want you to too. So we want you to consider going to a bucket list destination, somewhere that you really want to go to. Maybe it's Yellowstone, maybe it's Yosemite, maybe it's Glacier, places that you really want to go to in your RV, but you're just not getting there because either you don't want to drive that far and you don't have time to drive that far, or you just don't want to put up with your kids for 50 hours in the car.
Yeah.
Now, we really believe that you can fly and then either rent an RV or stay in cabins and go visit those destinations now. You don't have to wait till you're retired to go to some of those major places that you're itching to go to.
Right. So after we bought a RV about 9 years ago now, we have never taken a more traditional fly and hotel vacation. But what we have done now is we've taken all that we've learned from our RV trips and we've created these really creative ways of sort of capturing the feeling of those RV trips, even though we may be flying somewhere, even though we may be not renting an RV. And we've learned that you can have these amazing experiences if you take what you learn from your RV trips and you apply them to different trips.
And what we've also realized is we get 8.5 miles per gallon towing our toy hauler. You take that money that you could spend driving for us to drive out to Olympic National Park, that is thousands of dollars in gasoline. We were able to get our airline tickets, right? Mm-hmm. So just think differently about those trips. We've done a few different ones. Last summer, we flew to Seattle and we didn't even rent an RV. We rented a Suburban, but we stayed at campgrounds. We stayed either in glamping tents or we stayed in cabins, and we had an awesome camping vacation in the Pacific Northwest. And I'm sorry, we were not going to drive from New Jersey to Olympic National Park towing our toy hauler. That was not an option. We didn't have the time. We didn't want to spend that much time in the car driving with the kids. This was one of the best trips we've ever taken. Now, we've done some other variations as well.
Right. So then we also flew down to Florida 2 times, and we rented through Lazy Days, a Class C, to have great trips to Disney World each year. And every one of these trips taught us something different, right? But most of all, it taught us that if we think outside of the box, we can get that RV feeling, even if we don't bring our own RV. And the flights from New Jersey to Florida are so affordable in the winter. And we know we don't have to worry about some freak snowstorm holding us hostage in Florida when we need to get back for work.
That's our major problem. I don't want to drive an RV down to Florida in January because I might not be able to get back in time for work if there's snow. Now, this summer, we've done something totally different as well. We're driving our truck out to South Dakota, but we're picking up a small hybrid camper through Outdoorsy in Minnesota. That's allowing us to get into some national parks that the toy hauler wouldn't be able to get us into. And it's also enabling us to book out there mm-hmm. and get us out there really, really fast without right. having to tow all the way to South Dakota. And I'm telling you, the price difference is negligible, partly because we're camping in some national park campgrounds mm-hmm. for $20 a night that I couldn't get into in the toy hauler. So think differently. Think agnostically. If there's somewhere you really, really want to go, but you just don't want to drive there or can't drive there, explore some other options. I don't necessarily think they have to cost more.
Yeah, and I don't either. I think that you have to crunch the numbers on each trip independently. But here's my wisdom for you from these experiences. Everybody likes to say, oh, well, enjoy the journey. RV travel is all about enjoying the journey, not the destination. But real life comes into play here. And sometimes we can't enjoy the journey. So if you have to cover more than one day of full-time driving, right? Like if it's 2 full days on either side to get where you're going and get home, I think that you really need to consider an alternate. Because if you're not enjoying the journey, if you are just wasting those days simply driving and looking out the window and not able to stop at this location or that location along the way, then really, to me, you're wasting 4 days.
Also, some people only have a week's vacation in the summer, and they're just not going to get to Yosemite or Yellowstone on Glacier during that time period. But if you have a week off, meaning 9 days, because you have the 2 weekends, you could fly into Glacier, rent an RV, and then come home and fly back home. You could pull it off. You could do Yellowstone that way. And we have people in RVFTA, the group, that flew out to Yellowstone, rented a camper for a week or so, and then flew back.
Yeah, I think that we need to not get so, you know, bogged down in only one way of doing things and stay creative so that we can have all sorts of fun and it always keeps things fresh and new. We've enjoyed it. So
I'm so thrilled we got to do a month in the Pacific Northwest, and we would not have been able to pull that off driving.
Yeah.
All right. I'm thrilled for this week's guest correspondent. Johann Schnell is an all-star in our private Facebook group. He's so kind. He's so helpful. He's so friendly. And he's such a great RVFTA fan, frankly. He's always encouraging us. But what we've also learned about Johann over the past couple years is he's like a car and truck fanatic. And he's a total RV fanatic too, by the way. I mean, he really just gets into the specs and the details. And we've been wanting to do some SUV content to talk about SUVs that are good for towing. And we just both looked at each other and realized, like, Johann knows this stuff inside and out. He's so good at talking about SUVs on the private Facebook group and making recommendations. We knew he would be the right guy for this. And just to give you a little bit of an idea, like, of what a car and truck nut he is, Johann and his wife, Lauren, like, met because they were trying to start a car club in college, which is beyond adorable. And apparently, like, there was too much red tape and they couldn't start the car club, but this great romance started, and now they have this lovely family.
But they started a marriage.
Two children, a dog. They go to, like, every car show. Johann actually has a friend who's a car blogger, and Johann gets to go test drive cars on a track with his friend. So we just thought, man, he's going to be good to get on the show for SUVs. And let me tell you, he knocked it out of the park. This is an awesome episode. And if you're considering buying an SUV or maybe your second SUV to tow a family RV, Johann's going to walk you through all your options and give you a lot of good education about towing safely with SUVs. So stay tuned for great SUVs for RVs. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is time for segment one of an episode that we have wanted to do for like 2 years. And now we finally found the perfect person to do it with. So it's segment one of great SUVs for towing RVs. We're going to dive in. We've got three segments all about helping you shop for an SUV to tow your RV. But before we dive in with Johann Schnell, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
There's a reason J-Flight has been America's best-selling line of travel trailers for more than a decade. With family-friendly floor plans, plenty of standards and options, and Jayco's two-year limited warranty, it gives you no worries and all the fun. Available in three different models, the J-Flight SLX, J-Flight, and J-Flight Bungalow, there's a floor plan for every camper. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. You know who else is full of family fun? Johann Schnell.
Johann is the man. He's the man on our forum. I think he's the man in his home.
I hope.
He's one of the main men. He's
like one of the main. Fingers crossed.
He's like a Florida man. Honestly, I'm so thrilled to have you on the show because you've become such a major part of the RVFTA community. So, Johann, welcome onto the podcast for the first time.
Thank you so much for having me. This is exciting.
Oh, God. And we're excited, too, because we know that you're full of knowledge. And you are going to help us do a very unique thing that we always try to do in the RVFTA community. We try to take the topics that the rest of the internet screams about, and we talk about them in a civilized, helpful way. Are you up for the challenge, Johann?
Let's do it. I am up to it.
All right.
Tell everybody, like, I kind of pride myself on picking the perfect person to come on a show to talk about a topic. I mean, Stephanie and I are just good at going like, oh, yeah, that's the person we want to talk about. Or that's the person we want to talk to. So why are you the person for, like, trucks, SUVs, towing? Where does this interest come from, and why do you have so much experience with it?
Yeah, so it really has to do with living frugally and living in a Navy town where a lot of my friends have more disposable income than I did. And so I always got picked to be my friend's driver when it comes to, you know, certain vehicles and test them out or take it to the track and see how it does. And just general trustworthiness and being in an environment where a lot of my friends got to trade around vehicles quite a bit. And being a car guy married to a car chick, really helped out, really have a variety to test out and look and go see, go to car shows. I mean, just for fun, my wife and I go to the 2 times a year to the local car show where we get to sit in all these different SUVs, sit in all these different trucks, sit in all these different cars, and just kind of pretend which one would work best, what kind of families would like to be in it, kind of envision ourselves which one would we want to daily drive in. And we've had a heavy rotation of cars in our fleet, too. So we're always thinking, like, would this one be good for our fleet, or would this one be good for daydreaming? Like, if we had a fourth car in our garage, what would it be? So it's just one of those things, like, very, very fortunate to live in a Navy town where a lot of my friends really swapped around cars, and I got to be the one to help them live vicariously through them. So it's just something that kind of like Casita Dean became our resident go-to research person at RVFTA. I really became a hobby of mine to figure out which would be the best tow vehicle for my family. And also, you know, we all window shop. And so window shopping SUVs and window shopping trucks and window shopping campers, it really has become a hobby.
All right. So you referenced your fleet. So let's talk about it. Give us an idea of the type of cars and trucks and SUVs that have sort of been in the Schnell family over the last, I don't know, decade or so. How have you guys moved from maybe what you had before you had kids to maybe before RVing to what you have now? Just kind of give us the rundown.
Okay, so full disclosure, our fleet right now is not the most fun, but it's kind of like the line in Batman where it's the fleet that we're supposed to have, not the fleet that we would like to have. So quick rundown of the Schnell fleet changing from non-RV owners to towards RV owners. We've always had my wife's PT Cruiser. I got married into her PT Cruiser, so that's never non-negotiable. We're always going to have that. And so she's always had her PT Cruiser Turbo. It's her baby. She's had it since brand new. She'd probably leave me before the PT Cruiser. So that's kind of the third car that always sits in the garage. But then the Indo rotation has always been some kind of fun car for me and some kind of family car. Even before we had kids, we like to have vehicles that are useful, vehicles that we could go road trip in and things like that. And so her baby was the PT Cruiser. My baby was an Eclipse Turbo, in different variations of that, just to keep it simple. And then, when we got the news that my wife was pregnant, I kind of got the ability to trade in the Eclipse on the faster version, which is a 4-door Lancer Evolution. And, so we definitely got to live a bucket list dream and buying a brand new Lancer Evolution Turbo. Really awesome car, really fun car. I really raced it hard and daily drove it. It served a lot. So once we started really being heavy into kids and our second kid was coming along, that's when we were thinking about, you know, the all of a sudden the Evo, which is the short name for it, which is what a lot of people know it as, the Evo started getting less time at the track and more time just as a daily driver. So we thought, you know, why don't we, you know, look into doing something, especially as we knew that we wanted to get into the RV lifestyle. So by this point, we had rented a pop-up and really liked the pop-up. And so we went from a PT Cruiser, the Evo, and we had an Odyssey, a used Odyssey, just kind of as our fleet car, to going to selling the Evo, getting a newer Odyssey, and I can't remember what our third car was at that time.
It can get confusing. So we've had a lot of car flips, too.
Honestly, we probably had over 10 vehicles in the time span you asked me. But then we got our hybrid, our first hybrid, and I suited up the Odyssey, which kind of goes into what we're going to talk about. And I suited up the Odyssey thinking it would do good, and it was just not a good idea. So then we played the hopscotch, which a lot of our viewers are going to know. And we went from a Odyssey to an SUV, a full-size SUV that was really cool, to then a truck. And we went from the first hybrid that we really loved and we spent the 9 months in to knowing that we wanted to get a bigger version of a hybrid, and we got the bigger hybrid. So we've gone through 3 tow vehicles and 2 campers. Now our fleet is super boring but very durable, and we've got her PT Cruiser, not going anywhere. Toyota Prius. I use Toyota Prius to be my daily driver for work, and then I use Toyota Tundra because it just it gets it done. It's the perfect match for our hybrid.
Johan has tried all the cars.
How is he calling his truck and his Prius and his PT Cruiser boring? His fleet.
I know. Because Johan has big dreams for what that fleet could look
like. We'll stay in touch as these dreams come to fruition.
A couple weeks ago, we had on Mark Polk, and he was talking about matching trucks to trailers. And, you know, in Mark Polk's world, which is like a very good, safe place to be, like if you own an RV, you need a pickup truck. You know what I'm saying? But there are so many RV owners that are in smaller, lighter RVs, and a pickup truck would be great, but it's just not necessary. I mean, an SUV can tow an RV if you're just smart about it.
Right.
So let's pivot here. Let's dive in, Johan. I want to lean into your expertise.
Well, I want to say first, being smart about it doesn't mean magical thinking. Johan already said, and we'll talk more about this, but Johan already said, I souped up the Honda Odyssey. And it didn't work, so I moved on, right? So
Johan is a realist when it comes to...
We need to be smart,
When it comes to matching SUVs to trailers, which is kind of like the sub-theme of this episode, and also just shopping for SUVs, you're very realistic, which is why I feel so comfortable talking to you about this. So, Johan, let me ask you this. Why might an RV owner or potential RV owner want to consider an SUV instead of a pickup truck?
It's a really good question, Jeremy. And I think that it really has to do with one. I think first and foremost, most families are driving some form of SUV right now. And when they decide to jump into the RV lifestyle, most of the time they're looking at how to do it with the fleet that they have. And so let's talk about why SUVs are so popular, because part of me still wishes I had an SUV, even though I love my Tundra. The SUV can be really convenient in a lot of ways. So let's talk about, you know, what makes it so alluring. First of all, comfort, right? These SUVs really ride more like cars than like trucks. Two, they're probably most of the times they're more fuel efficient than a truck would be. And maybe they're not as fuel efficient as a car, but you have a lot more size and a lot more comfort. Then the other part about it is, especially when you talk about three-row SUVs, with three-row SUVs, you know, you could really bring a family. If you're just an average family of four, you're going to ride comfortably. These kids are going to be in captain's chairs and things like that. And then if grandma or other family members want to tag along, you've got that third row. Or if you've got dogs, the third row and the captain's chairs really make it really convenient rather than trying to cramp the dog, especially medium to big size dogs, in a cab of a truck. And so the SUV is really compelling for a lot of reasons. And I think that those three are probably the most important ones, and how they ride, how fuel efficient they are, and how comfortable and how versatile they are for the family.
I think we have a lot of families listening that have four or more kids. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, like, you can't really do a pickup truck. Like, you might want a big RV or a big travel trailer, but a pickup truck might really not work for the composition of your family.
Whenever the kids ask for another baby, I say there's nowhere for them to sit in the car.
Yeah, the truck is full. Okay. So now there are lots of compelling reasons to get an SUV if you want to buy your first RV or just to use the one you have. But then there are definitely kind of safety and towing considerations you really need to think about to make sure you are towing safely.
Right. So in other words, let's frame this out really clearly. Many people, when they're thinking, I have a Ford Explorer in my driveway already, what RV can I tow? They look at one number, and that's tow capacity.
Yep.
But really, it's much more complicated than that. We have to be a little more sophisticated to make sure that the SUV can tow the RV safely. So break down, besides tow capacity, what are those other issues that really come into play when towing with an SUV?
Yeah, and that's, Stephanie, I mean, that was the crux of what happened to us. When we had the Honda Odyssey and we wanted to get a camper, I mean, we wanted a camper. We originally started with a pop-up, and our friends, the Raquel and Jeremy McAlee, who got us into this thing, they gave us the advice, buy your second camper for the first time. Okay, cool. That sounds good in theory. I had no idea what that meant. So then when they said, get a hybrid, I started looking, well, the Jayco 16XRB is within the towing capacity of my Honda Odyssey. My Honda Odyssey has a towing capacity of 3,500 pounds. I did exactly what you mentioned. So I looked it up, and it said 3,500 pounds. Cool. So I went and I looked at the Jayco website, and it had the 16 XRB was below 3,000 pounds. So I'm like, oh, this is good. I'm good. The big mistake, and really what people should really be paying attention to, is not so much the towing capacity of these SUVs and minivan, but the payload. And that's where, you know, it really got tricky, because payload is the number one. And Mark Polk does a great job at going into this in that podcast. So, you know, if you're still confused, he'll do a better job than I would. But the way to quickly think about payload is just whatever vehicle, SUV, minivan you have, look up that payload sticker on the side of your door jamb and subtract out all your family's weight. So the, you know, you, the mom, the dad, the kids, the, you know, the dog, if somebody else comes along every once in a while,
snacks.
Add everything in, add your gear in and snacks, the Blackstone, if it's going to go inside in the back of the SUV, add everything. And then see, and then think about, well, I also have to have room in that number for whatever the hitch weight is of my camp, of whatever camper I'm looking at. And so that's really when these SUVs start, you know, really being limited by the number that you're looking at. So if I could take one thing back to when I first bought this, it would have been to understand more the weight and not necessarily the towing capacity.
And the also, you have the softer suspensions, right? And I'm looking at your excellent notes here, right? I mean these cars are designed to be comfortable driving vehicles more than they're truly designed to be workhorses and tow horses.
Yep, and that's exactly it. And so sometimes these SUVs and minivans will also have a hitch weight. And basically, with what you're saying is exactly right. And so when you put too much weight on the back of that SUV, it will probably sag. And when it sags, even if you do tricks to it, which we can talk about in just a second, even when you do tricks to it, it's going to be really hard to get that sag out. And when you have the sag, it makes it all the worse, because most of these SUVs are going to be front-wheel drive. And when you're taking the weight off the front because the rear is sagging, you're going to feel it on the highway. It's not going to be an easy experience. You're going to feel it in the steering wheel. You're going to have these white knuckle experiences people talk about. And so the good part about having a soft suspension to daily drive is the bad part when you have a heavy trailer or a lot of stuff with a trailer in the back.
All right,
Mark Polk wants to fist bump you right now, Johan, because he would be proud.
Yes, that's exactly right. So Mark Polk's there saying, amen, take us to church, Johan. All right, so the payload is important, and then also the length of the trailer. Why?
Yeah, so the length of the trailer, I want to talk about this maybe with the heavier type SUVs, because really with the small and medium sized SUVs, the trailer length is not going to, it's just completely out of range from even a capacity standpoint. But the trailer length is important because that SUV will be really susceptible to wind. And, you know, most of the time these SUVs are going to be shorter than the trailer by a long shot. And they're also not going to have a lot of weight versus a truck. So if you look at a truck in an SUV, the truck is usually going to be body on frame, like Mark Polk mentioned. And so by definition, just more weight to not be pushed around. An SUV will probably be pushed around in that wind versus the SUV. So you'll feel it. You will definitely feel it.
And also in braking situations. I mean, the weight of the truck matters in a braking situation.
Yeah, that for sure. 100%.
Now, Johan, when we got our F-250, there was nothing to add to it to, you know, hook up our toy hauler. But back when we had a Highlander and we were starting out, we kind of had to rig it up a little bit to get it ready to tow. So not all not all SUVs are really ready to tow a trailer, right?
Yeah. So let's talk about I'm not going to tell my wife how much I spent back in the day. But I will kind of list out the things I had to add to the Odyssey to make it worthy. And so this is kind of two things. So most SUVs, especially the lighter duty ones, and most minivans, in fact, all minivans, except for the you know, heavy duty one. They're not going to have a brake controller. They're not going to have, if they have a hitch, it might be a smaller hitch, not for a camper. There's going to be class 1, 2, 3, 4. So you got to look that up, but they're not going to have the heavy duty hitch. They're not going to have the brake controller. So those are things, I mean, if I were doing it again, my minivan, in order to tow something decent, I'm going to want to add the brake controller. I'm going to want to add, maybe add bags to combat the sag. So, in hindsight, I probably wish I would have known more about the payload capacity and how important that is, and then I wouldn't have even bought that stuff. But you can add, specifically to some of these SUVs that don't come with it, you can definitely add a 7-pin harness and a brake controller if they don't come with it. And your RV will definitely need those. So those are factors that you need to consider when you're budgeting for getting an RV, is what would it cost me to buy a 7-pin harness if my SUV doesn't have it? And what would it cost for me to have a brake controller installed aftermarket?
And then once you add all those things, then you can sell it, because you might not have had the right SUV anyway, right? I mean, I'm joking, but some of us do get into that game, right?
Like, ended up with a nice Honda Odyssey that could tow something really cool.
Somebody ended up with a great Toyota Highlander for us.
Yeah.
All right, so now let's pivot, and we're going to talk about light-duty options in this segment, a few of them. Then we're going to come back for another segment, talk about medium duty. Then we'll come back again and talk about some of the heavy duty options. We're going to walk through some of Johan's favorites, some of his best picks, and just let you know what's out there on the marketplace. So Johan, let's talk about some light duty options for towing. And I am stressing to our audience, light duty for small trailers. So what are the types of things we might look for? What types of SUVs might we look for if we're towing something small?
Yeah, so these are basically the ones, I think of them under around 3,500 pounds and less. So think of like the GMC Terrain, the Ford Flex, the Jeep, not even the Grand Cherokee, but the Jeep Cherokee, the Subaru Outback, even on the smaller end of it. And then general, like the normal minivan. So like the Grand Caravan, the Odyssey, the Sienna, things like that.
What are some of your favorite in this category?
I would say, in context, because I'm a car guy, I like the variety. So like a Jeep Wrangler Unlimited would be sweet. If I had a pop-up or a really small trailer and I'm outdoorsy like that, I mean, how cool is it to be able to tow, something with a Jeep Wrangler? I mean, that, to me, that's cool. If I were buying a minivan and maybe I'm planning on towing just a small pop-up with it for the family, my personal preference is the Honda Odyssey. I just love how good of a job they do in interior and exterior luxury and comfort. But the Sienna is the only one with all-wheel drive. So if that's something that's important to your family, having all-wheel drive, the Sienna is the game in town, the swagger wagon as we know it in the car world.
Now, we had a Ford Flex, and
I like the Ford Flex.
And Stephanie is still a little irritated at me for selling it. And in retrospect, I wish that we did not sell it.
I love that car.
First of all, we got rear-ended while I was driving like really, really hard. And I have this issue with cars that once I get into an accident, not that I've been in that many, I don't want the car anymore. And I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's how I am. Now, since we got into this whole world of a second RV with Penny the pop-up camper, I really, really wish we still had the Ford Flex to tow Penny. Don't you, Stephanie? I mean, are you still angry at me about selling the Ford Flex? Yeah.
You know I am. You're just taunting me on air. Yes, of course I'm angry with you. I love that car, and I should never have let you convince me to get rid of it.
Well, you would not. Stephanie would not get an Odyssey or a Sienna. She refused.
No, you made me test drive it, and I was practically in tears.
I did the Sienna. I was into the Sienna, man.
You did. You
that,
were pushing
That was so
for
luxurious
it.
And comfortable inside. Stephanie was like, no. So the Flex was sort of like our compromise because she didn't want a minivan, basically.
So Stephanie, wise choice. In the Ford Flex and the GMC Terrain, in my opinion, have the best reason when it comes to an RV owner in this little segment, just because they are the few that actually come equipped to handle a camper, in the sense of that you're not going to have to do much aftermarket. The Ford Flex comes with a tow package, and that tow package includes the things that Mark Polk talked about. So if you pair this episode with Mark Polk, this is speaking his language in that he recommended anything that has a tow package from the factory. And the Ford Flex and the Terrain brings a brake controller, and the Ford Flex brings the tow package with the extra oil coolers and stuff like that. And so the Flex is cool because it's also three rows. And so, man, it just gives you that flexibility of a daily driver, and it can tow up to 4,500 pounds. So penny to papa would be a breeze.
Two pennies. We could actually tow two pennies.
Yeah. String them up.
Yeah, don't get overboard there. Don't get overboard.
All right. So now let's talk about
a penny. Yeah. With two Blackstones, maybe like the 17 and the 32.
The 36.
All right. We'll pass it all. Let's not talk about it too much because it's just a little painful for me. Now, okay. we did mention the kind of weights that we're talking about in this category, around 3,500 or less. Obviously, you were mentioning the Flex can tow a little bit more. But let's talk about the kinds of campers that fall into that category for people that are listening in or at the beginning of their shopping experience.
Yeah, so the ones that would I think I would feel comfortable recommending to someone that's limited to keep these vehicles would be anything single axle. That's the fast way to think about this. And so pop-ups definitely fall into that. Teardrops, the smaller A-frames, some of these A-frames that are over 10 feet and are very nicely equipped would probably be too much for this. I know a friend that has a small vintage cruiser that tows with his Jeep and it tows well. The small hybrids. And so the smaller, newest hybrids are probably getting where they're too heavy for this, because now most 2018 and 2019 hybrids are on the heavier side than they used to be. So I would really, really put an asterisk to small hybrid, like maybe the entry-level hybrid size-wise. The Hummingbirds, the R-Pod, the Geo Pros, on the smaller floor plans, those are ones that can be in here. And maybe the smallest of the bunkhouse from any manufacturer, so like the J-Flight 154BH would fit here, just because it's how small and light it is. But I would say anything single axle, really on the small end, you'd really have to plan carefully.
We've got some fiberglass travel trailers that would probably fit in that category too, right?
Yep.
All right.
Fiberglass would be the key to keep the weight down.
Yeah.
It seems like some of the RV manufacturers in some of their product lines might like have one that would fit into this category. You know, like if you look at those J-Flight SLXs, like the smallest one might work, mm-hmm. you know, because they're thinking of that consumer with the really small
right.
SUV.
But we are looking at tow capacity. We are looking at the payload. We're looking at the length. And we're also looking at whatever else you need to do to make that SUV tow worthy. All right. So that wraps up our intro to the wonderful Johann Schnell, and also talking about lightweight, you know, SUVs. We're going to move into that medium weight category next. And I think that this might be a really important category for a lot of our listeners.
I think Johann also gets more and more excited as we move up.
As we move up.
The heavier weights.
Well, yeah, there's more to fit in. But you know what? A lot of cars that are sitting in people's driveways right now are in this next category, so stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment two of our big episode, Great SUVs for Towing RVs. And Johann Schnell is going to take us into the medium duty category, give us an overarching view of the landscape, tell us what are some of his favorites in that category. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
All right. It was very tempting for me to make a medium duty joke going into the Thetford
message. I think you just did.
You kind of set me up for that one.
Thetford. Thetford products can handle the heavy duty.
We'll get to that in the next segment.
I can't believe you just went there. If one of our children did that, you'd be yelling at them.
Yeah, I know, but they're not in the room. All right.
Could we say the gloves came off on that one?
The gloves did come off.
I better read some copy before this gets out of hand. So Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. And if you hang out in RV Spoke Group, you know that you're constantly hearing folks ask questions about black tank odors or other tank problems. We really, actually, being teachers, believe in following the rules with this stuff. And since we've been following the rules since day one, we can honestly say we have a pretty good track record of keeping our tanks clean with Thetford products.
We haven't eliminated the odors in our house, but we have eliminated the odors in the RV.
Maybe we should
start dropping some Aquachem in the house toilet.
It doesn't work that way. That's not the way it works at all.
There's no holding tank.
No.
I know.
All right. So we also have used those Aquachem drop-ins every single trip we've ever taken, and we don't have odors. Visit Thetford.com, and you can find out more information or follow the links in the show notes.
Johan Schnell, welcome back to the show, man.
Thank you. This is going to get fun, but we better put our flame suits on.
Let's do it. Let's talk medium duty. All right. So what's the landscape? You know, what's out there?
Yeah. What are we talking about, first of all, with weight when we're talking about medium duty? And what are we talking about in terms of just brands that are out there that fit into this category?
Yeah, this is an awesome place to be when it comes to car manufacturers, because everybody's in it. And so when we talk about medium duty, this is the average SUV that you see out there. So think about, every car manufacturer pretty much has something there. So Honda has a Pilot, Toyota has a Highlander and the 4Runner. Nissan has a Pathfinder, and they used to have the Xterra. Chevy has the Traverse or the Buick Enclave. Ford has the Explorer and the Lincoln version. So, you know, Subaru just came out with the Ascent. Volkswagen just came out with the Titan. So every car manufacturer really knows that this is probably the bread and butter of their SUV segment, just because it's what majority of people are buying. It's the most versatile type of SUV.
Now, Johan, when we were talking a little bit on the phone about this episode beforehand, you made a great point, and it was something that I think I hadn't really put my finger on myself. And you were kind of pointing out that these are all good vehicles. Like, you can almost kind of make a good decision just based on, like, what style you like and what feels comfortable for you. There's not a junky car out of any of those that you mentioned.
That it's true. And so this is the part where, you know, my wife and I going to these car shows, you know, like we're talking about, like, the where the car dealers put, you know, every make and model bring is put into underneath a show condition, and you basically can get in and sit down and look at these cars without any salesman bugging you. And this is where, I mean, like, if I was in RVFTA the group, some people would like the Pilot, some people would like the Highlander. It's really the design language more than anything that differentiates these. I mean, the reality is all of these are going to have a towing capacity of about 5,000 pounds. They're all of them going to have a very similar payload number. And if we go to just a quick into Mark Polk's previous episode, these are the ones that he mentioned are still body, unibody, as opposed to body on frame. There's only really one now. It used to be two that are body on frame, like the 4Runner and the Xterra were the body on frame ones. Everything else is unibody. And what that means, just real quick, is that they're built on a car chassis. So something like the Pilot probably mirrors something more like the Accord than the in the sense of that they're built on a car platform, let's put it that way. So they're going to be light for mileage, fuel economy purposes. They're going to be very comfortable. They're going to have a lot of room inside, because most of them might be front-wheel drive, or if they have an all-wheel drive, it's front-wheel drive-based all-wheel drive. So they're just going to have a lot of interior room. They're going to be very comfy, and they're going to be very fuel efficient. So this is really the bread and butter from a competitive landscape. So if I'm a Nissan guy, I'm probably going to like the Pathfinder. If I'm a Toyota household, I'm probably going to like the Highlander. If I've always grown up with Hondas, I'm probably going to gravitate towards the Pilot. So this one, you can't go wrong anymore. Like, really, all these cars are very capable. The fuel economy numbers are going to be very similar, and the size specs are going to be very similar.
I love that you're pointing that out, because I think that We're doing a lot of technical talk here in terms of capacity, right? And what is a good SUV for this? But I want to get a little more lifestyle right now. You know, I think that something happens to people when they get into RVs. You know, you go to the show, you're in this RV that's set up already, you're loving the space, you're like, oh my gosh, I could live in this. And you just get swept away with that feeling. And you forget all the other stuff that's going to go into you getting that, maybe that bigger trailer. You forget what it's going to be like to tow that trailer. You forget that it's going to cost you a little bit more than you originally budgeted for. And, you know, we love the fact that people get their huge fifth wheels and love them and use them to death. We love our toy hauler, but we also want to always take the time to say, you know, guys, if you have that Explorer that you love in the driveway, you can be a recreational RVer and be happy and stay in your lane. Like, you don't have to start the flip-flop game, you know, the leapfrog for game, sure, if you don't want to. And sometimes I just like to like pump the brakes on that a little bit.
Small RVs are hip and fashionable right now. And so much of the creativity in the RV industry is on the small end of the spectrum in my mind, where on the big end of the spectrum, a lot of the creativity just means more gadgets. On the small end of the spectrum, I think there's a lot of
design and engineering. Design. Absolutely.
And then you don't need a pickup mm-hmm. truck necessarily. So if you don't need one, you know, I don't know that you need to go buy one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, for families, especially that even have the three or the four kids, like, don't rend your garments, you know, over the fact that you can't get, you know, all four of your kids in the truck and the dog or whatever. Those Explorers are comfortable. We rented one, you know, when we were traveling recently. It was a fantastic car. And you can find a nice travel trailer that can be towed by
and
that.
I just got to drop this in here. The Wall Street Journal just reviewed, I think Dan Neal is their auto critic, and he's great. He's really funny. And he just reviewed the Subaru Ascent, and he said, new class leader. Like, he was like, hands down, this is the new class leader. So there's a lot of exciting options in
and
here.
And I said, move on, Jeremy.
I know,
move
because
on.
I'm like, we have a Forester.
The wheels are turning.
She's like, I got three kids, a dog, and a Forester. Like, why did I do that? But anyway, what are some of your favorites in this category? Like, if you were just going to go buy something in this category, what dealership would you land at?
Yeah, and just real quick, Stephanie, to address what you said, because I think it's absolutely true. No one that ever got into the RV lifestyle, whether it was with a pop-up or a fifth wheel or a hybrid or whatever, regrets the memories that they make. I could say that I regret the money that I put into my Odyssey and the money that I lost trading one hybrid for the other. But at the end of the day, the regret level is zero compared to the 2 years that I've had, you know, making memories with my family. So if it's within the budget, and I say go for it and go and have fun, and you're never going to regret that. You know, you're always going to, you know, families always find a way to make things happen. So to the point about the SUVs, I would say my favorite is kind of weird. It would be the Volvo XC90. And the reason why I would pick that, or the 4Runner, and I'll get into the tool. The Volvo XC90 is cool because they really got a big redesign a few years ago, and it really blends cost and value, luxury and drivability. So it's got the similar, you know, 5,000-pound towing capacity that all these guys have. But it really is, to me, language-wise, it just speaks a little bit more. It's a little bit more luxury without the price of the Germans and the really high-end luxury SUVs. But it still has that in there in its price point, and I've read enough really good reviews that would be something that I would consider if I wanted to stay in that range. The 4Runner to me speaks, you know, to the pure car guy, because it's just, it's not the most technologically filled, but it's body on frame. It can go anywhere. It can pull anything within its range that the V6 it has and just the overall capability of it. The 4Runner's just, it's a legend.
Okay. So okay. Car guy or car girl, because there's a red 4Runner up the road that I've been coveting for a couple
Stephanie
years
has
now.
Kind of been into 4Runners forever.
I've always loved them.
And I did too when I was in high school and college. And
love them.
We've never owned one. And
nope.
I do feel like at some point in life,
the car buying thing is so crazy to me. I never like assert myself.
I'm just true confessions about VFTA. I have made car buying a nightmare in our family. I've just done a lot of the hopscotching you talked about, Johan, and I've just made a lot of the classic mistakes myself. And I just love buying new cars, which has led me to buy too many of them.
And in my defense, while I've made a lot of stupid car decisions, I do make good decisions with real estate. That's gone well for me, okay? So, and that is sort of made up for some of my sins. So the 4Runner is a big part of the attraction, the body on frame for you, because it is built more as a towing vehicle, or is it just more the rugged charm of it?
It's because it's not pretending to be anything that it isn't. It's the kind of vehicle that can literally go anywhere. It's not the most fuel efficient, and it's not the one filled with the most technology, but you know it's going to turn on. You know it's going to tow what it's supposed to, and you know it's going to do what it's supposed to do really well for a long period of time. And like, to me, that's why we got a Tundra, actually. And it's, to me, the 4Runner speaks that same language. It's just one of those that I can be allured by the technology and some of the other things that some of the competitors offer, but I know that 4Runner will turn on, you know, every single time for a long period of time.
Now, we're here with Johan Schnell talking about medium duty SUVs, and we're talking about SUVs that tow 5,000, 6,000 pounds tops. Now, what are some of the, just broadly speaking, what are some of the types of RVs we could be shopping for if we owned a Pilot, a Highlander, a Pathfinder, a Traverse, or an Explorer?
Yeah, so this is where, you know, anything that we looked at in the previous segment would apply. And it's probably where, you know, if you're on the high end of the capacity of that light duty segment, then you know that you could tow it. It would be within the margin of this segment. But if you wanted to push the envelope a little bit, this is where some of the mid-size hybrids, some of the slightly bigger bunkhouses. So think about the bunkhouses that are light, that are maybe, you know, anywhere between 15 and 19 feet kind of thing.
Like the ones where there's the two bunks over in the corner and the bathroom right next to them, like that kind of traditional floor plan that a lot of people own.
Yeah, like I'm thinking of the 174 BH would be perfect for a segment like this. So like, you know, I think of one Casita Dean with his Borrego. That's exactly in this segment. I think of Travels with Birdie with their FJ. The FJ would be similar to the 4Runner to this segment, and they have their 174 BH they take everywhere. And so think of the midsize hybrids, not quite the big hybrids. The big hybrids are pushing more than what these can. But the pop-ups, the A-frame, the bigger A-frames now, the smaller midsize hybrids, in the slightly bigger bunkhouses. So this segment, you could get a tandem axle, so you could get to a two-axle trailer, which will tow better than the smaller ones. They'll track a little bit better, and you have four tires on the road as opposed to just two. But you still, with 5,000 pounds, I mean, what it really translates to is maybe a max of 4,000 for a camper, maybe.
And just being smart, which you keep pointing out, just making wise decisions, knowing your payload numbers, understanding how much weight you're putting in the trailer, how much weight you're putting in the truck. Now, we're going to come back in a second. We're going to go heavy duty with Johan Schnell. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here again with our friend Johan Schnell. And in this segment, we were going to talk about heavy-duty SUV options. But before we dive in, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Outdoorsy.
Outdoorsy is the largest and most trusted RV rental marketplace, and they are making it easy to make a little scratch renting out your RV. Just ask us, because it's pretty easy to rent out our RV.
We are getting more requests for the RV than we can handle.
I say no to everyone. I'm
She's
just
saying
like,
no more
no,
than she says
no,
yes.
No, because we're too busy. So you can rent out through Outdoorsy in both the United States and Canada. You have a lot of options out there for renting out your RV right now. And the important thing is to know that Outdoorsy is different. They have a $1 million insurance policy that covers owners. And also they have roadside assistance, automatic DMV background checks. We also love they have great owner support. I have used it to ask a question about options that come along with the rental. And I have received an accurate, easy reply like within 10
minutes. Well, and you can read reviews of the people that you're renting from. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and they can review
you. The user interface is amazing. But what's more amazing, we have coupon codes for you people.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And these aren't rinky-dink coupon codes. These are legit. So, Stephanie, tell everybody.
I always wish we could use our discount.
I know. Stephanie, tell everybody about our Outdoorsy coupon codes.
All right. So you can go to rvfta.outdoorsy.com. And if you sign up by going to that link, you will get a $100 rebate just when you sign up with Outdoorsy and rent your RV for the first time. Now, you'll also be able to use the coupon code RVFTA if you want to actually rent an RV yourself. If you want to rent an RV and go on a trip, you can use that code and you can get $50 off your rental, which would mean a free night in Penny.
Basically,
let's be clear.
Oh, totally.
You say I'm renting around for too cheap.
I know we got to raise the price on Penny. I mean, it's like a market thing, you know? It's like supply and demand.
I know.
You're not charging enough.
No, people keep it. Poor lady. I just got a message from her the other day, and I'm like, no, I'm sorry. It's too close to our trip out west.
Somebody in our neighborhood wanted to rent it and put their cousins in it when they came for a graduation party. She was like, no. Okay. All right, let's talk heavy-duty options. I hope Johan is still
there
after that long ad read. Johan, are you with us?
Yeah, this is my favorite category.
Okay.
This is where the car guy in me is fulfilled.
All right, let's talk full-size options. And we're talking, like, correct me if I'm wrong, towing maybe 6,000 to about 9,000 pounds.
Wait, I'm raising my hand, though, because what I want to say is you said it's Johan's favorite category, and I think that you think it's really interesting. But I also want to say, before we go into this, I think it might be the most dangerous category because of the fact that we get up into higher tow capacity rates. Just because we're going into that world, I want to circle back around and remind everybody of what we talked about at the beginning of the show, which is that it's not just about tow capacity. So just with that caveat, Johan, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you talk.
Great. So yeah, it's the 6,000 to 9,000 pounds is purely to give context, because we know that the average person like myself, first thing is going to do is going to go on Google and say GM Tahoe towing capacity, and then they're going to see 8,000 pounds or something like that. So it's just purely for context. It's to give us an idea. This is where the big SUVs are within. And what I like to do is remind everybody in the Mark Polk episode, this is where he mentioned that there's some SUVs that are built on the frame of a truck. This is where most of these SUVs differentiate themselves to the previous one. Is there's a good chunk of them that are built on the same truck frame from their truck brethren, and there's some that are still unibody. So we have to pay attention. So what I would like to start off with is let's talk about the short wheelbase. So if you think of something simple like a Chevy Tahoe or the Chevy Suburban, the two big differentiation between the two is one has a longer trunk. One has a short trunk, but that also means that the Suburban has the rear wheels are a little bit more separated from the front. So when you have a longer wheelbase, basically it's kind of like having a bigger foot to your leg. And so when you have a bigger foot, you have a little bit more stability. So let's talk with the short wheelbase ones first and kind of give a flavor for what's there. And I would really like to start out, if you have a short wheelbase, so think of a Tahoe, the Yukon, the Escalade, or the Expedition, the short ones, really pay attention. Even if you're going to be close to your max towing capacity, really pay attention to how long your trailer is going to be, because a similar size trailer on a Tahoe or a Suburban will drive differently. And so we have to really pay attention to the things that we talked about.
Johan is giving our audience solid gold right now. And I really hope everyone is listening.
Right. So the Tahoe, a lot of people think, it's just
the same thing as a shorter Suburban,
but it's the same thing. I can really get the same towing experience, tow capacity out of it. And Johan, you're saying that the wheelbase really is everything. I mean, that will make the difference between a safe towing experience and an unsafe one.
Yep. And the wheelbase is everything when it comes to the safety and drivability. But the second point to watch out for, too, in Mark Pohl's episode, he briefly touched on gearing. Everything that makes these SUVs fuel efficient also plays against their towing capability. So let's think about it this way. Somebody, I know I did this. Oh, well, because I had an Escalade for a little bit. Oh, my Escalade has a 6.2 V8. It's so awesome, 400 horsepower. And it's the same motor that came in the Corvette from 2008. And it's the same motor that comes in their big trucks. The reality is that a lot of these SUVs in this segment will have the motors in similar drivetrains to their truck versions. But they don't have the rear-end gearing that their truck versions do most of the time. And so in Mark Pohl's episode, he mentioned with half tons in particular, like being very careful, like a same F-150 or Silverado could be a 6,000 capacity or a 12,000 capacity. And a lot of it had to do with the rear end. So let's go back to the fundamental of the SUV. The SUVs are built to be fuel efficient. And so if your vehicle is fuel efficient, odds are that it's designed and geared to be fuel efficient. So when you go to tow a camper, that's going to be more strain on that engine and the transmission to try to pull that weight, where a truck might have a rear end gear that's more helpful for the motor and the transmission, but not as good as on gas as your SUV. So those are two big things to pay attention to in this segment. And I know this from experience. Like my Escalade did a wonderful job towing my hybrid, but the moment that I got into the Tundra, it was just night and day. And my Tundra had less power than my Escalade did, but the Tundra had a better gear ratio meant to tow, and my Escalade did not. And my Escalade was the long wheelbase too. It was just a night and day difference. And so if I can walk away teaching anybody two things, pay attention to the wheelbase relative to the length of your camper, and pay attention to the fact that, yeah, you might think it has this towing capacity of the truck version, but it's not quite as like that in the real world.
All right. So what are some of your personal favorites in this category? I know that you really were kind of attached to your Escalade, right?
We loved it. We loved it. And the catch is that we actually went from the Odyssey to a used Escalade to keep it budget friendly. So we did not have all the means to go out and get a new Escalade. Our Odyssey was relatively new, and we ended up going to a older version of the Escalade in order for it to fit our budget and continue that camping lifestyle we knew we wanted to do. But some of my favorites would be, you know, again, this is kind of where if you're a fan of a certain brand, car makers are designing these things for you. So GM has the GM trio. So Tahoe, Yukon, Escalade, and their long versions. Ford has the Expedition and then the luxury version, the Navigator. Toyota's got the Sequoia and the Land Cruiser. Nissan's got the Armada and the QX. Chrysler Jeep has the Durango and the Grand Cherokee, and then there's the luxury models too. So Mercedes has the GLS, Audi has the Q7, and so on and so forth. So really, if you're a fan of a certain car brand, like that's just what speaks to your language, odds are that the car maker that you like has a version of it. The one thing to pay attention to really is that if you're going to go with a relatively bigger camper, maybe look for the longer wheelbase SUV version. So maybe if you're going to be shopping for something like a Tahoe, maybe the Suburban isn't a bad idea because it might give you a little bit more stability on the road.
All right.
And then also like the Expedition, you know, I mean, if you're towing an RV, maybe you want to get the long Expedition, you know, even though it might be a little bit harder to park at the grocery store. They are very different vehicles to put a fine point on it.
Yeah. Agreed. And I'm sorry, I didn't answer. My favorite right now in this segment would probably be the Expedition and the Navigator, just because they just went through the redesign, and the redesign of the Expedition and Navigator really blew away everybody else. And it's just, it's not even fair. So the combination of towing capability, luxury features, technology, ride comfort, quietness, they really blew it out of the water.
I think we have to say here, these are expensive vehicles. Like when you're talking these heavy duty SUVs, like you are very quickly moving into $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 SUVs, correct?
Yeah, and when you go with the long versions too, that adds up. And in some of these, particularly, you know, the more equipped the more well-equipped they are, they're pushing into the 80s and 90s. And, I mean, the Escalade and the Navigator and the Black version, they're $100,000. I mean, these are not – they're not inexpensive, but these remind me of Josh Winter's saying this is the bring all the things SUV. Like, these are the SUVs that you really are bringing all the things. I mean, if you want to cruise in style with every possible comfort feature and have somewhat decent fuel efficiency, I mean, if your camper fits within what these trucks, what these SUVs can do, you're also getting pretty decent fuel economy versus the truck. And you're probably in a little bit more comfort than you would be in a truck. And so these SUVs are, you know, they're not the value proposition, that's for sure.
All right. So what kinds of things are we towing with these heavier duty SUVs?
Yeah. So these SUVs, let's say the range between 6 and 9, this is where you're looking at the biggest of the hybrids can fit within this category. If you're looking at the Murphy bed floor plans, some of these Murphy bed floor plans can fit. Some of the mid-sized bunk houses can fit. Not, I would say anything maybe below a 26 or 25 box. So something like a 23 or 24 BH something. It's definitely bigger than what the lighter duty and medium duty SUVs can do. But I definitely see on groups and forums and things like that, some people towing 28-foot box campers with these, and it's not a good idea.
Back to the point from before that's so important. The tow capacity numbers might look good on paper, but it's the other areas where you could definitely get into some trouble, basically. So, Johan, I have to ask you, what is your dream pairing? Forget what you have right now. Forget your current fleet. If you could
forget
go out,
your budget.
Forget your budget. If you could go out right now and pick out any SUV and match it to any appropriate trailer, what would you get?
So I'm going to throw you a curveball. If I had to be within like a two-row SUV, I would say something like a Grand Cherokee, the diesel one. They no longer sell the new one, but the diesel one, I think it was like 2016-ish. That's really cool because it gets really good fuel economy and it tows really well. Something brand new, I mean, money, no object, all the things, probably something like a Navigator, the long with an Airstream. I mean, if you're going to go, you're going to go all the way.
A Navigator with an Airstream sounds ridiculously awesome. I have to say, I love that pairing.
Well, sharp, definitely sharp. They'll see you coming. All right. Well, Johan, thank you. First of all, thank you so much for giving for free such wonderful information constantly to the people in our Facebook group. I know you spend a lot of time giving thoughtful, complete answers to people's questions instead of just like yelling at them about how they can't tow anything.
He's an RVFTA the group MVP.
Yes. And we really appreciate that. There are some people that are just always willing, you know, to give a little time and give people great information. And from our side, we love that. We appreciate it so much. But also, thanks for giving us time now while as your kids are in bed, you're holding down the fort at home, and you came on RVFTA. We appreciate it.
Now, Johan, I want to throw this down right now. How about you go out and test the Subaru Ascent, and Stephanie and I go out and test drive a Subaru Ascent? We come back on the podcast at some point in the fall and we talk about it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Thank you so much to Johan Schnell. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back in a second for the RVFTA News Roundup. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody, and a huge thank you to Johan Schnell for taking time out to talk to us about great SUVs for towing RVs. Now it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Go RVing.
Yeah, now this is a great resource. Heads up, this is a great resource. If you were listening to this episode and you heard us talking with Johan about pop-ups and hybrids and smaller travel trailers, and you couldn't quite wrap your head around every one of the terms that we were using, guess what? GoRVing has a great resource for you. So if you go to GoRVing.com and click on the Compare RV tabs, they're going to take you through what every – they have a nice little graphic there, and it shows what it is, and then it gives you some specs on them. It's really user-friendly.
It's almost like a video game for adults.
Yeah, okay. So go over there and use the RV Selector tool, and you can enter some information, and it'll help you see what kind of RVs are good. There's an RV for every budget, for every tow vehicle, and every lifestyle. Find your way. Go RVing.
All right. We are currently out on our big trip. First stop, Elkhart, Indiana, testing 2019 RVs for Trailer Life magazine, what they call RV Testapalooza. So we actually are moving in to a 2019 RV for a week to actually live in it and fully test it. So you want to be following along on social media because we'll be posting whatever we can, giving you an idea of what we're testing and how it's going.
We're not allowed to share everything.
We can't share all the details, but they also rented us a cabin for Maggie the camping dog so we could bring her to.
And then the new
this is a crazy trip we're on. So we really hope you're following along on Facebook and Instagram. Then we're driving out to Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore for a day or two. Then we're driving out to Minnesota and we're picking up a rented Jayco Hybrid X213. It's like a 24, 25 foot hybrid. And we are going to be doing a grand experiment in downsizing as we head out to South Dakota for an awesome, epic 2-week trip. On that trip, we are camping in Badlands National Park, Custer State Park, Rafter J near Mount Rushmore. We're going to be doing Mount Rushmore, Crazy Horse, Wind Cave, the Needles Highway, all that stuff. And we'll be sharing it all on social media, on Instagram and Facebook. So please make sure you follow along.
All right. Also, make sure that you check out Campground of the Week. We're always bringing you just a variety of different campgrounds on that podcast. It's really like to me watching the Travel Channel and having great hosts every week tell you about these phenomenal places that you might have heard of, but you don't really know about, or places that you've never heard of. And this week, we're so lucky to have Gretchen from Boxy Colonial, and she talks about the Laura Ingalls Wilder Homestead Campground in South Dakota.
In South Dakota.
Yeah, perfect.
It's almost like
timing.
We plan this stuff out.
We might plan
and
it out.
I am pumped up. I am going to listen to Carrie Cox's great review of Rafter J before we go to Rafter J.
Yeah.
Because I want the scoop.
A lot of our listeners do that. They listen to old podcasts that they had listened to before when they were planning a trip, but then when they're going, they listen to it again.
And I'm going to re-listen to Janine Pettit's review of Bluebell Campground at Custer State Park. And then we'll probably do fresh reviews of these just because we want to.
Yeah.
When we come back, and some of them are a couple years old.
We always have our own things to say. You guys know that. All right, guys, if you enjoy this podcast, we'd love it if you'd head on over and give us a nice, sweet review on iTunes. We read them, and they really do mean a lot to us, even though we can't like hit reply and say, you know, smiley face, hearts, emojis.
They make our day. Thank you so much for listening.
All right, guys, we'll see you at the campground.